Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on Scottish Cup weekend. Although it's not fully over yet, Celtic and Rangers both through, beating Kilmarnock and Fraserburgh ahead of a big week in Europe for them both. No real shocks apart from Premiership Ross County going out to Championship Livy. Motherwell go out in an all-Premiership tie against St Johnstone. And I said it's not over yet, a big one to finish us off, a Dundee derby before we find out who gets who in the next round. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is your usual Monday stalwart, Roger Hanna, and off the bench in times of crisis and emergency. I don't think Roger Hanna and Hugh Keevans can ever have done a midweek super scoreboard together.
I don't remember together. One, to be honest.
Certainly no, not many.
It's one of the perils of living 3 miles away.
There you go.
Honestly, the level of intellect, with no disrespect to Andy Halliday, of course, has gone through the roof. Who
wants
to take
weekend,
it away?
Great weekend. I mean, but sad for Roger and I. The football was great.
Yeah.
Glut of goals. But we lost two great men. We lost Dennis. And then, Roger, we lost Jimmy Calder.
Yeah, I got a phone call early yesterday to say Jimmy had passed. Terribly sad news. He'd been unwell, Gordon, for so long. I think he was diagnosed at the age of 60 with dementia. Yeah. He'd lived with it for almost a decade. I mean, a wonderful man, a wonderful manager. This is a man who took Dunfermline out of the Championship to fourth place in the Premiership, to Scottish Cup finals. He took Aberdeen to great nights against Dnipro, Copenhagen, Bayern Munich. He won a Challenge Cup with Ross County. He kept Kilmarnock in the Premiership. He was revered in the Netherlands. 20 years as a coach and player in the Netherlands. Scotland under 23 caps in the 70s. He had a fabulous, fabulous career. And you're speaking to so many people yesterday. Maybe the best epitaph of them all is nobody had a bad word to say about Jimmy Calderwood.
Not at all. And on the subject of good nights out, he came from Govan, of course.
Yeah.
And on the basis that my grandparents came from Govan, that was always my in to Jimmy Calderwood, you know, the Govan connection. I brought him down here one night. He did a programme midweek Super Scoreboard. He lived not far from me in his latter days, and just a tremendous character.
Yeah, and I think, Roger, that's the one thing you can see through all the tributes, is that word character probably would be the one that keeps jumping out. And I know maybe it is a cliche, maybe it's a sign of the times. People say that sort of thing's lacking in the game now. You can sort that out amongst yourselves, but he would certainly have come into that category, wouldn't he?
He certainly would. I mean, so many funny stories. But management, you know, people talk about Ange Postecoglou and his attacking style. Nobody had an attacking style like Jimmy Calderwood. You know, Dunfermline and Aberdeen went a goal behind. You could hear the bugles in the main stand. It was 2-4-4. He would go for it under any circumstances, in any venue, with any team. He loved open, attacking, expansive football. And he made no bones about it.
Very nearly became the Rangers manager as well.
Yeah.
Got an interview, or he was spoken to, not necessarily an interview, but spoken to by David Murray when he had Rangers in. It would have been the pinnacle of his career if he'd got there. But they chose Paul Le Guin instead. That went well.
Mm. And there's something to go extra deep, quite refreshing about in this game when we're all really obsessed from week to week, from minute to minute, about how good you are or how bad you are or what results you get or how your performance stacks up. That when it's all said and done, it tends to come back to just how good a person you were.
Yeah, I mean, at the weekend, we lost a generation of men. You know, the guys like Dennis Law and Jimmy Calderwood, they lived the game and they were larger than life into the bargain. And it's desperately sad. But as I said of Dennis at the very end of the programme on Saturday, let's celebrate the lives that they led on and off the park.
Yes, well said. 01419511025. If you don't want to pay tribute to either or both, you can do. And if not, you want to crack on with the more traditional Monday night look back on the weekend's action, let's do that as well. We said it before, we give it the big build-up. It is one of the highlights of the Scottish football calendar. It's the Scottish Cup fourth round, because everything is possible. And you get wonderful stories like 2,500 Clyde Bank fans going to Easter Road. Yes, it was perhaps lacking in the shocks that some people like from this stage of the competition, but there were plenty of big talking points across the country. So share your thoughts then. If we start yesterday and work back, Rangers fans, clearly a game you were always supposed to win, we're always going to win. Did you learn anything? Were there any players that came in and took their chance and you think you want to see more of them? On the other hand, were there players who came in maybe and didn't take their chance? What did you learn? Cyril Dessers, we've been round the houses with him before. He misses sitters, he scores hat-tricks. Finlay Curtis, young players getting an opportunity, what did we learn there? Clinton and Ciala's first ever senior goal. And if there are any Fraserburgh fans out there, you can tell us about your day as well. Celtic fans, as usual, I see it all Saturday evening and Sunday, this great debate about whether that was some sort of stuttering performance, or actually if it was pretty good then you just missed a few chances to make it more convincing in the first half. So what do you think? How does it set you up for a big week? Because in 2 days time you could see a season defining Champions League game against Young Boys. Transfer rumour and speculation still going, whether it's Kieran Tierney or anyone else, pick up the phone on 01419511025. Lots of angry Motherwell fans out there at the weekend. We had some on the phone on Saturday, so if you want to keep going there, you can do. And anything else at all, Bankies fans, want to share your day out in the capital with Hugh Keevans, you can do that as well. We'll go to Dens Park, we'll build up to that one, and we'll go through it all. So give us a shout right now if you can, and we'll kick you off with these two. Result of the weekend, not loads to choose from, is that fair?
I called Roger just before the programme started on Saturday, and I said, DL's in here, in a very funny mood. And off he went in his eccentric way, and he slaughtered everybody and everything. And when it got to predictions, he said, when I had chosen Livy to beat Ross County in the Highlands, that will never happen. Well, it did. And for that reason alone, to put the Dazzler in his place, it's got to be Livy beating Ross County.
What's the only official shock? We said our rules, yeah, as long as they're in separate divisions, it's a shock. I know there's not loads of places between them, but it counts. What else are you going for?
Do you think the Dazzler would be at the other shock yesterday? Wraith Rovers, his old team winning at Falkirk.
If I believe that, I believe in the fairies at the bottom of the garden.
But listen, it is a shock. I saw Barry Robson's first game as Wraith manager. They were 3-0 down to Ayr after 25 minutes. I didn't give them much of a hope at Falkirk yesterday. They went there, they won 2-1, they're in the hat for the fifth round draw tonight.
Now, massive news on the show at the weekend. I told you that we, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we will be picking the official goal of the round on behalf of those who organised the Scottish Cup. Now, clearly, we can't do that tonight because there's still a tie to go. But so far, what would you go for?
Could only be Scott Bright. The goal for Brechin. Yes. Although they then lose four, there was not a better goal in the fourth round of the cup at the weekend than that one.
Okay, don't mind it.
He was pushed hard in the same game, I'd say, by Jan Dander of Hearts. And a notable mention too, you mentioned at the top of the show, Gordon, for Clinton and Ciala's first senior goalie. It may be a long time before he scores a better senior goal.
Okay, that leaves us Howler of the weekend.
I'm going to break with tradition here and go out with our own boundaries. I'm going to Old Trafford, Manchester, where Rangers will play on Thursday in the Europa League. Ruben Amorim, the new manager of Manchester United, who beaten by the biggest team in England yesterday, Then decided to say it was possibly the worst Manchester United team in history. Well, first of all, factually incorrect, because those before them who have been relegated would have to take that mantle. Also, motivationally suspect. You've told a lot of them that they're useless prior to a European tie against Rangers. Have a think about yourself, Ruben.
And don't mind you breaking your tradition, because Akil Wright of Ross County broke your tradition.
Wow.
He temporarily thought he was playing for the Harlem Globetrotters at the weekend. The most bizarre handball you will ever see in the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. And top man, top performer, it can be man, men, women,
now,
children.
When Cyril Dessers missed a chance that I really and truly would have scored with at Ibrox yesterday, the crowd took up the usual position. He's hopeless, etc, etc, etc. But man ends up with three goals. Hat-trick for Rangers, first hat-trick. And typical of the day, Philippe Clement says he's not sure whether they'll still be there come the end of the transfer window. But Cyril Dessers for his hat-trick.
Let's talk Cyril Dessers at some point, Rangers fans. What did you make of it yesterday? Does his position change? Can you afford to let him go in this window? I know there's a level of frustration out there at some of the performances, but can you afford to let him go in this window? Would you like to see him go in this window? Give us a call. What did you learn yesterday? Who caught the eye? Give us a shout. Your top man, top performer.
I usually say, Gordon, I like to bring something home from the game that Super Scoreboard dispatched me to. I was at Queen of the South against St Mirren at Dumfries on Saturday. Toyosi Olasanya, two goals in the first 20 minutes. He's now into double figures for the season. He hasn't signed a contract yet. He was, what's the word I'm looking for here? Evasive? When I asked him about it post-match. Stephen Robinson was less evasive. He doesn't think he's going to sign. But if he gets 20 goals for St Mirren this season, he can pick and choose where he goes.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So what did you take away from your team's cup tie at the weekend? It is that simple. Celtic fans, how was that performance? Because it was a narrow scoreline, clearly 2-1. You could have been out of sight. Do you take heart from that? Or are you concerned because you weren't out of sight? How does it work? Personal preference, I suspect, on how you see these things. So how does it set you up for the Champions League? Rangers fans, what did you learn yesterday? Because presumably that's really all you can take from a day like that. Is that fair? I'm always careful not to be too disrespectful, but you don't want to be patronising either. Fraser, bro, we're going to lose yesterday.
Yep.
So is that what it's all about? Is it about trying to learn, rest, rotate, etc.?
Well, you know, we had a wee debate about it on Saturday, and I thought he should have gone strong. But he elected to put in players that, including Dessers, who don't ordinarily get a start.
What was his first choice, current first choice back four, I suppose?
Yeah. But he left out Igamani altogether. But you're right, Gordon. The only thing he can do is beat the opposition 5-0. It wasn't dazzling, first half in particular. But all you want to be is in the draw.
Because there's never rhyme nor reason to it. Roger, it actually reminded me a bit of when Bucky came to Celtic last season. You know, Ayer went away and scored far more. You know, it's not as simple as you should win by X amount.
No.
It just never works out that way for various reasons. And I don't know. But what do you learn? What do you take away?
Well, what I took away was, I mentioned to you and Hugh off air before the show, I had the pleasure of being at a first birthday party yesterday.
No.
Happy birthday, Lila, by the way, in the King's Park Hotel. And when myself and Mrs. Hannah rocked up at lunchtime, we were confronted by the Fraserburgh supporters' buses in the King's Park Hotel. So they were, how shall I put it, warming up for their big day.
Yeah.
And they would have a great day. Just like the Bankies fans at Easter Road, just like the Musselburgh fans at Hamilton, maybe not quite like the Broxburn fans at home to Ayr United. No. But what we take away is, it's great that Bucky can come to Celtic Park last year, Fraserburgh can go to Ibrox this year. The Fraserburgh players were not embarrassed. They didn't let themselves down. Scott Barber had a chance to score a goal.
Big chance, wasn't it?
And it's great that for one weekend of the season, I like the Scottish Cup fourth round, for one weekend of the season, those teams get to play the big boys.
David is a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, David?
I'm good, guys. How's yourself?
Good here. No complaints. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm thinking Dessers, great, scored three goals, missed an absolute sitter right at the start. Can a second goal, he can have stumbled, and he took more touches than he had to. I'm glad he's getting around, I'm glad he's getting some goals, but I think he will go. It's whether we've got something that's going to give us a cover behind. Players that have impressed, I think Nsiala is looking a quality player in the back four. I think he's looking much accomplished in his passing. His distribution is sensational. But also, I think with Yilmaz, even though he's playing the wrong side, we're better attacking and defending with him on the park. No offence to Tavernier, he's been a great servant. But Yilmaz is better going forward and quicker coming back and more defensive than him.
With regard to Dessers and his immediate future, the whole thing about this transfer window is finance where Rangers are concerned. Philippe Clement has said that he's under instruction to get rid of players as he did in the last transfer window. And therefore, for me, it will come down to if someone makes a good offer for Dessers, they'll get him. Or if there's insufficient interest in Dessers, then it will be someone else who goes. But it's all about finance and how much players can generate.
I'll tell you something. I'm going to miss him if he goes, Roger Hanna, just purely because he's always a talking point for us. How, David speaks on behalf, I think, of most Rangers fans. I've heard this a lot, that yesterday sums him up. Who has ever been summed up as being somebody who can miss the worst chances that you'll ever see, but score a hat-trick in the same game? He is constantly a source of debate on this show.
Yeah, and he took his chance really well against Aberdeen late on Wednesday night. He should have scored against Spurs, got himself into that great position and then was denied by Fraser Forster. He is the original number nine enigma. If he goes, I'll be fascinated to see what type of fee Rangers could command for Cyril Dessers now, how much interest there is. He will need to be replaced because with Danilo's injury record, I don't think Rangers could countenance going into the second half of the season just with Danilo and Hamza Egerman. Could you get a couple of £1 million for Dessers, Hugh?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, hit and miss strikers are as old as the game.
If Rangers are looking for money, you could get Cyril Dessers out and Lauren Shankland in for half the money.
Correct.
What do you think, David? Try and sell him?
He's an anomaly. I think we would need to buy somebody in. And on the forum that Shankland's shown this season, he's not the answer. He's not done anything this season. Is there somebody else that we can bring in from another team that's scoring goals? Buying strikers is a very touch and go for the Scottish game, I think. You get guys who don't get time on the ball, who like time, like Dessers needs, but he gets time on the ball and he has too much time to think about it, and that's when he kind of scuffs it. But I don't think Shanklin's the answer, to be honest.
Well, whether he is or he isn't, if we take Patrick Stewart at his word, there was supposed to be one and maybe two signings. That was his statement. So Fernandez is in, and that means there's only room for one more.
I do wonder if that can change, do you think, depending on the numbers?
I think it could change. If they start emptying people out, you know, if Dessers and Matondo and Dowell all go out the door, I think Cole McKinnon's away, Robbie Fraser's away, I think Alec Lowry's away today. They're beginning to empty the building. And regardless of the finance that Hugh talks about, Rangers will still need enough footballers to play football in the second half of the season. So if all of these guys go, surely they'll need to bring in more than Patrick Stewart was talking about.
Is the debate, is it now too far gone? I mean, is it the end of the road for him now? Or is it the beginning of the end anyway, even if it's the summer? Because in many ways, there shouldn't really be a debate about a guy that scored 16 goals this season.
No.
If you were basing it purely in the numbers, he's got 16 goals. There is no player, I don't think, in the Scottish top flight got more goals this season in all competitions. That's come in 32 appearances. It's 1-2. The ratio's fine. The negatives are clearly outweighing all this for a lot of the Rangers fans.
Igermani has muddied the waters because along comes Igerman and 12 goals in his last 14 games. And the number one pick, and Dessers is no longer the number one pick. Igerman is a young man, Dessers is not so young, and the coming years for him, he has to be very careful. He doesn't want to be warming the bench at Ibrox all of the time. So I think he would be receptive to the idea of a move if all parties were satisfied, the money was right, and he liked the idea.
This is what Philippe Clement had to say on it, David. We'll leave you with this thought. He says the player will be allowed to leave this month, but only if they can replace him with the same or better quality.
We have discussions every day. No, not every day. That's not true. But at least every week, or yeah, we talk all the time. So that's it. I think Cyril shows that he has desire to do everything for this club, and of course he wants to play every game. It's then showing that you're the best. That's working at Rangers. He knows that also really well. So that's the situation for the moment. If Cyril goes, you need to replace him, and it needs to be at least the same quality. If a player stays and he plays less and he becomes, because of that, unhappy and it goes down his level, what I don't fear with him, it's also not good for the club. So we will see in the next 2 weeks what happens. I know if he's here, he will give everything for the club. And if he leaves, he needs to be replaced by somebody at least from the same quality.
Thank you, David. There we are. What did you learn at Ibrox yesterday? Celtic fans, how do you rate the performance against Kilmarnock, and how does it set you up for Europe? Clyde Bank fans, you want to tell us about your day out to the capital? Motherwell fans, it wasn't such a happy trip to Perth. Let's do as much of it as we can between now and 8 o'clock. We'll take your calls next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Hugh Keevans are looking back on the weekend's cup action. We've got a big one in the Dundee Derby to come tonight as well. Let's bring in John, who's in Clyde Bank. How are you, John?
Well, hey, how you doing?
Hey, good, John. Good. What did you take away from yesterday?
I'm actually a Desers fan, believe it or not. Kind of weird that you're saying a fan and believe it or not. I've always liked him. I think he went and said it, that if he scored, if he didn't miss the Sitters, he wouldn't be at Rangers. That's a fact. He scored 26 last season, 16 this season. I think we've got one job, and that's to get behind the team. Not a win, you just get behind the players. Whoever puts out in a jersey, you just get behind the players. You support them. That's your job. But you're the 12th man. You turn around at Ibrox and you see 90 minutes, Hoffa Stadium's empty. I watched the game last night at Leicester. Was it Leicester that was playing Crystal Palace? In the final minute, the stadium was 90% full. And the home fans applauded their team going after Park. They've just seen their team getting beat 6-0. So I think we should get behind Leicester and support them.
I'll give you this guarantee, John. If you were at Ibrox and Rangers lost 6-0, you would not be applauding. Tell the truth.
They don't applaud when we win. They're not there. They're left. At the end of the game, instead of 50,000 people being there, there's 20,000. They're away to go home at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Where are they going?
But you describe it as your job. It's not your job. It's not. It's your prerogative to decide how long you stay. It's your prerogative to decide whether you cheer or boo, because you paid to get in.
What do you achieve by booing your own team? How does the players? I read the Clyde about 10 years ago and I asked the players, I said, how does it feel when you're getting booed? I said, and they said at the time, you know, if the team's behind us, then that motivates the players, and if the players get a buzz out of that.
But listen, if you pay your money, it's a spontaneous demonstration of emotion. If you're not happy, if I had paid 35 quid to get in and I didn't feel I was being entertained or I had some other problem, you're telling me I should just sit there and accept anything?
That's No, I never suggest it. But your job is that while you're watching your team, is to support them, and you're going to leave it 15 minutes before. We're going to do nothing. We just won the game, do nothing, and the stadium's off empty. Park your team after park.
Well, you had a large batch of your support walk out after 55 minutes.
See, to make this more specific, because actually it doesn't really matter what team John supports. We have this debate all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, we had it sort similar
last week after
with
the
Celtic. No, but yeah. Celtic, you know, about whether you should be happy with backwards passes and all that stuff. It's a kind of football fan existential crisis that every team goes through. To be more specific, though, on Cyril Dessers, this is kind of what I meant before the break. Is it just too far gone? John says he's a Cyril Dessers fan. It doesn't feel like there are enough of them out there. He's got 16 goals in 32. What would that number have to look like for there not to be grumbles when he comes on, or for there not to be fury every time he does something wrong? This is what I mean. Is it better now that it goes separate ways if possible?
If Rangers had lots of money in the bank, he could be accommodated. You could put up with the guy that misses and then scores a hat-trick and so on and so forth. But Philippe Clement has told us, the media, what he has been told by the hierarchy, that in this window he has to remove players. And he removes those who fetch the best money. It may or may not be Cyril Dessers, and if he stays, then that's Philippe's good fortune then, because if Igamani should have an off spell,
that's my point. People don't, not everyone sees that as being good fortune.
They would need to get somebody in. Now, we all know the pros and cons of Cyril Dessers. The way, you know, John is right, 26 goals last season, 16 this season, 32. People who don't see Cyril Dessers for 90 minutes every week might look at those figures and say, wow, let's go and buy him. And Rangers might get a decent chunk of money for Cyril Dessers, and that might allow them to keep another player at the football club. But just in terms of sheer numbers of players, Rangers couldn't go into the second half of the season with just Agaman and Danilo, with Danilo's injury record. If Dessers goes, they need somebody, whether it's Lauren Shankland, whether it's Toyosi Olasanya, whether it's Sam Dalby, whether it's somebody for the continent that we haven't heard of, they will need to get somebody in.
Funnily enough, RW tweeted to say, sell Dessers, bring in Olasanya and Cameron, £1 million for both. He's got it all figured out. I like the sound of that.
Cameron's a good player.
John, did you learn anything else? Was there anything else to take away, or is it just such a mismatch in level that you just have to win the game and move on?
Well, I don't need to actually mention it, but there was a lot of pressure on the players because the B team beat Fraserburgh in September 5-0. So at minimum we had to match what the B team had already done. So I thought the game was actually quite good. I enjoyed the game. It was a good atmosphere. So, and it was nice to see 2,500 Fraserburgh fans at Ibrox.
Mm-hmm.
That's their job.
It's a long way to come, to be fair. Yeah, because Roger, look, again, there's a week's worth of shows in the debate about when Celtic and Rangers and other teams should use young players, and we clearly don't see it enough. Yeah. We don't see it a lot. So on days like yesterday, you almost have to see it as the only opportunity we really get at the moment, it feels like.
And it's going to be interesting how often Philippe Clement plays them in the second half of the season. I begin to get the impression that Zach Lovelace may be ahead of Robbie Matondo in the pecking order, and Bailey Rice may be ahead of Kieran Dowell in the pecking order. So I would expect to see those lads.
Could they have gone further? Could Bailey Rice have started the game or?
Possibly. I don't think it's bad to get time in Conor Barnes' legs. He's obviously going to have to play at Old Trafford on Thursday because Mohamed Diamandé suspended. As you said, the first choice back four that played yesterday, that was because it was the only back four, you know, really with the exception of Yilmaz. I think they would want to get Tavernier in and get time in his legs as well.
Rangers did make a signing over the weekend. Are we overlooking this because people haven't heard of him? Is that what it is?
Well, Ntiala can't play because he's not in the...
Well, neither could the new player either.
Rafael Fernandez. Yeah.
But, you know, we've spent...
I think it's because he couldn't play, Gordon. You know, he can't play in Fraserburgh. He can't play against Manchester United. It's going
so
to be
wait and see.
Next weekend before Rangers fans, you know, the weekend, like, the United Tannadice Sunday lunchtime before Rangers fans get the opportunity to see him. So I think there's enough to keep them occupied at the moment.
Okay, thank you to John. What about Ross? Ross, what did you take away from the Scottish Cup weekend? Were you at a game? Were you watching on? What happened?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hope you're well.
Good. Hi,
Ross. I actually went through Easter Road Saturday to watch Clyde Bank. I know a couple of people in the club and stuff, and I just thought it was a great occasion for them, so I wanted to go along and take it in. But for me, on Saturday, I was just amazed at how many Clydebank fans turned up to the game, and for me, it was a joyous celebration for the club. And it got me thinking on Saturday night, thinking, if Clydebank were to work the pyramid system and get back up to the divisions where Clydebank want to be, I generally do believe, I think, they would get a travelling support like that every week. And I think they could, I know obviously home park's limited in terms of numbers, but it would give Clydebank, I think, the motivation to then try and strive more people to go along to home park to watch them every weekend. But I was just really, really delighted for the club on Saturday. And as I say, I know Hibs won the game comfortably, and it just showed the levels between the difference. But for me, it was more about celebrating the fact that Clydebank have managed to achieve something in terms of obviously getting to the levels of playing Hibs.
By my reckoning, Ross, the crowd at Easter Road, the Clydebank crowd, would be about a 700% increase on the average home gate. And I speak as someone who has a daughter, a son-in-law and a grandson who are season ticket holders there. And it was the success story of the day from Clydebank's perspective to have 2,484 people precisely. Behind that goal at Easter Road was just a reawakening where the club is concerned, because we had Grace McGibbon on Saturday night on the programme, the chairperson of Clydebank, and she told us that she'd been there 25 years ago to support Clydebank when they were an SPL club, as it was then. And here they are in the sixth tier of Scottish football, and they're taking a bigger away support than many clubs would do in the Premiership. So, it was an indication of a latent support. And if Gordon Moffat can negotiate the pyramid system and Clydebank do get back into the SPFL, it just underlines the level of support they have.
And again, on the pitch, Roger, all you can do, similar, talking about Fraserburgh's goal, and just give it a good go. And they certainly did that. The scoreline was perfectly respectable. Probably just
the first minute of each half has killed them
to concede yet.
But listen, people say nostalgia is not what it used to be. I thoroughly enjoyed the build up to the game, listening to the story, hear Gordon Moffat in the show last week. He was in the newspapers on Saturday, just following in social media stories from some of the fans who were at the Save the Bankies stuff 25 years ago. Yeah. You know, Andrew McLean in this show, Gordon, he phones us every week and he decides who goes to what games at the weekend and what have you. Fraser Wishart, desperate to go to Easter Road at the weekend because he played for Clydebank the last time they played Hibs at Easter Road 25 years ago. And there's like enormous pool of goodwill in Scottish football for Clydebank. Not just the 2,500-3,000 that went to the game at the weekend, but people remember Clydebank. They remember them in a Scottish Cup semi-final against Celtic in 1990, not that long ago, Gordon. And they're a great name in Scottish football, and it'd be lovely to see them, you know, even if they don't come back into the league in the next two or three years, get into the Lowland League, get up the pyramid a little bit. And I think under Gordon, they're going in the right direction.
Ross, I know you're a Celtic fan as well. Did you miss the game on your travels? Did you see it back? What did you take away from the weekend?
No, do you know what? I actually tuned in to you guys Saturday night on the way back to Edinburgh, and I was listening to the game on the way back home, but I managed to catch the highlights. I thought it was going to be a tricky tie, but for me, I think Celtic just was getting through was probably what we wanted, and that's what happened. The game itself, I don't think, was a spectacular game. I know we created a number of chances and stuff, but for me, I think it was just getting through this tie and then focusing on Wednesday coming, which I think again will be another tricky game. I know young boys are already, I know they're already out the European stage, but for me, I don't think there'll be any mugs. I think they will still pose a challenge, and I think we need to be right on it on Wednesday, because if we don't, we will get caught out.
The amazing thing, Ross, about the first half, Celtic Kilmarnock, was a carbon copy of the first half Dundee Celtic. Celtic score first, then miss an incredible amount of chances, and then concede a goal right on half time. And in the second half, there were signs of Engels and Hatate losing their way. Hatate has had a season like that. Possibly Engels into the bargain, but then Nicholas Kuhn makes the second goal for Dyson Maeda, and they get there in the end. But I thought it was an unconvincing performance.
I was interested in hearing Dyson Maeda's quotes in the newspapers this morning, just telling Celtic that they need to be at their best. Yes, young boys are bottom of the group. Yes, they haven't taken a point. I think their goal difference is something like minus 19. Sounds very much like Petrol Cub coming to Tynecastle before Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is there not a danger, though, that this stuff goes too far and that every time Celtic don't win by three or four, then it's just the so-called flaws and the weaknesses that get highlighted? Because in terms of performance level, is your performance actually that much different if you stick the ball, you know, 2 yards past the post, or sorry, 2 inches past the post, that goes in, you know, these sort of fine margins, is the performance actually that much different?
I think there's, you know, if you go back to December 15th,
like, see, if you're struggling to create chances in your Celtic, I think that's when, you know, the alarm bells start to go.
Yeah, but I'm kind of looking at the other end of the park. If you go back to December 15th, the cup final against Rangers, in regulation time, lost three goals to Rangers in the league, lost three goals to Dundee in the league, and they concede goals too easily. I do take your point that one night they'll give somebody a hammering, or one afternoon it might be Dundee on Saturday. Who knows? But they can't go into the young boys' game assuming that all will be well, because they periodically get a reminder that they're not as clever as they might think they are.
Thank you to Ross on 0141 951 1025. Good time to call. If you want to join in, please do, and I'll tell you about this first.
Every day is payday.
Yes, Christine was speechless, emotional, thrilled, use whatever word you want, because when the call came and she won £2,025, she's still in the draw for the quarter of a million on Friday as well. Plus, there's another £2,025 tomorrow. So, text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get two entries for the price of one text. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2.50 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rio Network competition are online. The lines close 3 p.m. Friday, so for your chance to have a quarter of a million pounds in your bank account in time for the weekend, plus another chance to win £2,025 tomorrow, make sure you enter before 3 p.m. So answer the phone if we call. That's it. It's so simple. The money would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Roger Hanna. There's a strike force you don't usually get on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but they're together. They'll make it work. Their styles complement each other, who knows? But they're team players, and they will be here between now and 8 o'clock. So give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025, and we will take your tweets as well at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, since we were discussing the Celtic performance before the break. He says he's actually full of praise for Austin Trusty, because he previously criticised the defender and played him at the weekend.
Well, I talked to Austin Trusty the other night, and then you see his response. I thought he was excellent today. Big, strong, powerful, and that's what we expect from a Celtic centre-half. There'll be times at home like today where you've got to stand up and be counted. And I thought he was brilliant at that. So really pleased for him and his response. I speak to him after the game. I speak to him the next day. You draw a line under it. He knows exactly where he stands. So these are men. These are men. So they're not little boys. You can talk openly and honestly to them, and that's what every player will tell you. So the response was excellent. He was good in training, and the day, so we had to train. You can see his focus, and then that's what I expect. Because in the big games, the Leipzig, Atalanta, he's been colossal in those games. So. But it can't be boom or bust for a player. If you're going to have consistency at Celtic, that consistency level has got to be up there.
He was put in his place. The manager told him he was weak.
Weak as what again was it?
I can't remember. But he was put in his place after the display at Dens, and he responded. And you have to wonder, young boys, three goals they've scored in 9 hours of Champions League football. They're fighting relegation in Switzerland. They drew 0-0 at home with another troubled club at the weekend. you have to wonder what kind of defensive threat Celtic will face from them. But he drew attention to Austin Trusty. Trusty let him down at Dens, was good for him on Saturday, and has to replicate that on Wednesday at Celtic Park.
We can specifically build up to that game tomorrow night, obviously, Roger, but was that a nod to Wednesday on Saturday with trying to get a team that will look like the one?
Oh, without doubt.
Rather than keeping people fresh for it was like trying to get...
Without doubt. And also, listen, everyone's entitled to a bad night, and Austin Trusty had a bad night at Dens. He was called out by his manager, and then Austin Trusty's got a decision to make. Does he listen to the manager's criticism, toughen up, and get back to the type of performance he produced in places like Bergamo? And he did. He stood up to the task well against Kilmarnock on Saturday night, and he needs to continue doing that, starting with young boys.
John is a Celtic fan. Take it away, John.
So with Celtic's last two games, the chances have been criminal. The chances of the miss has been criminal. Dundee, the first half, it's been 3-1 up. It was even worse than... I was on Saturday night. It was worse than Saturday. Kyogo missed a pinch, and so Atati, he hit me in the back of the head. I was sitting behind that goal. I ran him right on the goal line.
Why are we not facing the pitch?
As I say, it's criminal. If a Dayan wins the night in this Champions League, they'll not be getting any playoff games. They need to score. They've got to, if you get a couple of chances against this young boys in Wednesday night, they're going to need to take them. As I say, the chances were criminal, mate. As I say, it was schoolboy stuff, not professional football players. That's my point tonight.
Well, that's an exaggeration, John, with respect. But you're right, though, that they've taken to missing a volume of chances that you wouldn't have believed possible. However, on the occasion of the game against Dundee at Dens, they did score three. And against Rangers in the Cup, they did score three. But there's no doubt at the moment they're not scoring the number of goals that they should be getting.
I don't think I made the point particularly well before the break, Roger, so I'll give it another go, though. I'm just talking about this notion of missed chances. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying John isn't right. It might come back to haunt you, but as a manager, as an example, you don't have an awful lot of control over that. I think, do you know what I mean? I think you've got real issues when you're not making chances. If Kyogo runs through on goal, he either scores or he doesn't. I don't know if that means you're in crisis on those moments that he doesn't stick them away.
I'm going to rock the boat here. I'm possibly the only person on the show not at all worried about Celtic going forward. People miss chances, of course they do, but Celtic's all scored enough chances to beat Kilmarnock and knock them out of the cup. They scored three at Dens. They scored three at home to St Mirren. Recently scored four at home to St Johnstone. The scoring goals, I'd be more concerned, even despite what Brendan Rodgers saying about Austin Trusty, I'd be more concerned by the other end of the pitch. When they went to Ibrox on the 2nd of January, Celtic had conceded four league goals all season. Subsequent to that, they lost seven goals in the next three away games. It's at that end of the park I'd be worried, rather than the top end, because a front three on Wednesday night of Kuhn, Kyogo and Maida will do enough to win the game.
And if you look at the goal difference table in the Premiership, you'll find that Celtic's goal difference is better than Rangers by 27 goals. So, you know, that it's not a problem, but it's a quirk of fate that in recent matches, as well as scoring goals, they have passed up on some gilt-edged chances.
See, because Celtic started the season so well, John, and, you know, you're used to winning all the time and so on. Do you feel like the team needs to win by 3 and 4 for you to truly be satisfied with the performance?
Well, I don't mind to be satisfied. I managed to go with 2-1 up at Parkhead against Kilmarnock and they get a chance and they could have made it 2-each. You know what I mean? It's nail-biting stuff.
It's exciting, John. It's exciting.
It's exciting. I'm getting the nails left.
That is then true as well. You know, it was cup football. Kilmarnock were able to go for it a bit, and in fair play to them, they did. They gave it a good go, didn't they?
Okay, listen, they did. Kilmarnock had absolutely nothing to lose in the game. I think when the draw is made, you know, Derek McInnes will probably tell you it's the last draw he wanted. Celtic, the holders, the Premiership leaders at Celtic Park. And they made a good fist of it. It's been a tough season for Kilmarnock. They're not clear of the relegation zone yet. And Derek would have liked the Scottish Cup to be a little bit of a distraction for Kilmarnock in the second half of the season.
5-7 and we've not had one complaint about handball in the build-up to Kilmarnock's goal. Does that mean everybody realises that his hand was by his side? We agree with the interpretation of the rule and we'll move on.
Well, maybe like John, they're preoccupied with other things. We tend to,
or it was just the right decision.
I think it was the right decision. Mm-hmm. We tend to be black and white in this part of the world, and I think with regard to Wednesday's match against Young Boys, the Celtic fans will say, right, okay, the Swiss team have played six games and they've lost every one of them. They've scored 3 goals in 9 hours of football. How hard can this be for Celtic? But it's the Champions League and you have to be right on the night, but the odds must surely be overwhelmingly in favour of Celtic winning that match.
Your own version of ref watch for the next 15 seconds. You're okay with Kilmarnock's goal, I assume?
Yeah, I think we're getting used to the handball, because remember the one Motherwell scored against Rangers?
Yes.
Stamatopoulos and Maspanisi threw. There was a row yesterday in the Aston Villa game as well with a handball. I think people are getting to know the rule.
And Derek McInnes, he wasn't happy in the build-up to Celtic's second, was he? Was it?
Yeah, I know he wasn't happy. I think it was a goal.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. You can debate them, by the way. You don't have to take Roger Hanna's word for it, for goodness sake. But before then, 0141 951 1025. It's your chance to beat the pundit. You have to call before 7 o'clock. The handicap system is working. Roger Hanna, for years, too good, showing off. We brought him down a peg or two. We put him on -2 and they lost last week. So let's see how we go tonight.
I can't play beat the pundit when the master is sitting here. It's like getting Gordon DL to play somebody at chess when Gary Kasparov's available to you.
I think we'll leave that analogy there for now. But you have to call before 7 o'clock and you could play beat the pundit next. The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Hugh Keevans are here, 0141 951 1025, and still about an hour for you to share your thoughts. So whatever you took away from the Scottish Cup this weekend, just before the news, we were talking about Celtic's level of performance and missed chances and how that sets things up for the Champions League. Rangers fans were asking you, what did you learn? Because that's what these games against Highland League opposition are, an opportunity for players. Who took it, who didn't? Should Cyril Dessers stay? Should he leave? He's up to 16 goals for the season. Those have been the main topics so far. So if you want to join in, please do. And if you want to move on, what else have you got for us then? Motherwell fans, there was a fair bit of fury out there on social media following the exit at McDermott Park. How are you feeling now, a couple of days on? And once we play Beat the Pundit, we're going to go to Dundee for team news ahead of the Dundee Derby as well. So let's do this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time, and either Roger Hanna -2 or Hugh Keevans, just Hugh Keevans, will be taking on Scott from Wishaw. How's it going, Scott?
I'm good, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Have you ever played this before?
Yeah, I did. I actually played Simon Donnelly a wee while back.
And?
Yeah, I beat him 5-4.
Oh, nice. Scott's got a bit about him. The listeners are starting to tick along a little bit. They went through a dry spell. 2 victories again for the listeners last week.
How did Simon Donnelly get 4?
I know he's usually a sort of low scoring type, isn't he? You, of course, responsible.
He goes for quality rather than quantity.
You responsible for one of the listener victories last week.
Yeah.
The -2 eventually caught up with you.
Tino, as I'm told, from Thornley Bank.
Is that who it was?
He gave his name as Martin, but apparently my daughter can tell me he's known as Tino.
Oh, that's right. And he was texting your daughter.
Was very happy with his victory.
I bet he was. Are you going to have to hand deliver the ball?
Certainly not.
Oh, I bet he's determined to bounce back this week, isn't he? He tries to play it.
I'm now worried. If Scott averages 5, that means I would need to get 7 just for a playoff.
True.
And see, Gordon goes, we might only get 6 questions.
If you didn't like the Kasparov analogy, I mean, you've now got George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley. You've got the guy that knows all the words and the other guy that hangs about with him.
Or as you said earlier on, George Michael and Glenn Michael.
You're in 74%. Not many pundits have got the win percentage to match their age. Are you 75 now?
75, yeah.
Oh, never mind. Scrap that bit. But you're nearly there. And I'll tell you what, it's all so tight. It's all bunched up. A victory could do wonders for you tonight up that table. Right, Scott, I'll toss the coin. If it's heads, it is Hugh Keevans. If it's tails, it is Roger Hanna. And he does start on -2. But it is... Who were you again? George Michael.
I'm Andrew Ridgely.
Right, whatever. It's Hugh Keevan's up against Scott from Wisher. So we'll give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to. Make sure we turn that up nice and loud, and that way he doesn't have a chance of hearing what's going on in here. Scott, you've got 30 seconds. You answer as many as you can, and you pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Right, your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish manager to win the top flight?
Oh, Scottish Reckon.
Alex Valle is on loan from which club?
Barcelona.
Which team are the only non-Premiership or Championship side left in the Scottish Cup?
Oh, pass.
Who was the latest player to make their Scotland debut?
End Oaks.
What nationality is new Rangers signing Rafael Fernandez?
Portuguese.
In what season were Partick Thistle last in the top flight?
2014.
Okay. Right, Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can.
Same set of questions, and your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish manager to win the top flight?
Strachan.
Alex Valle is on loan from which club?
Barcelona.
Which team are the only non-Premiership or Championship club left in the Cup?
Oh, pass.
Who was the latest player to make their Scotland debut?
Pass.
What nationality is new Rangers signing Rafael Fernandez?
The Portuguese.
In what season were Partick Thistle last in the top flight?
2014.
Okay, Scott, how do you think it went? Do you think you got your five like last time?
Not even close. They were much harder.
They were hard, I thought. Yeah. I thought they were quite tricky.
Yeah.
Did you hear them, Roger?
Yeah.
You did. Right, let's go through them. You both said the same answer for the first one. You both said Gordon Strachan. Both wrong.
Mm.
Walter Smith, anybody? 10-11 season. Oh. Walter Smith was the last Scottish manager to win the top flight. Alex Valle is on loan from Barcelona. For how much longer? Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know.
But he's here as things stand, and you both got it one a piece. Which team are the only non-Premiership / Championship side left in the Scottish Cup, Roger Hannah? Would you put them out of their misery, please?
Paul Hartley's Cove Rangers.
It's Cove Rangers. It's actually the, I'm choosing my words carefully, I was going to say the worst, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's the worst season for a number of years for lower league representation. Yep. Left at this stage of the competition. I think it's about a decade or something since we had.
I think that's about it. Got Dundee derby tonight. What about an Aberdeen derby, Hugh? Cove against Aberdeen in the next round.
So I think we're going back. It's over a decade since there was nothing from like the fourth tier and down left in this stage of the competition. So anyway, Cove Rangers still 1-1. Tricky question this. If you could give half points, Scott, I would edge towards you. You at least gave it a go with Ben Doak, who was the latest Scotland player to make their debut. Would you guess?
I thought Ryan Gold.
Nicky Devlin.
Oh, of course, aye.
Yeah, so I think under time pressure, that's really tough. Forget time pressure, I think that's just tough anyway. 1-1. You both knew that Rafael Fernandez is Portuguese, which means it's 2-2. And it all comes down to this last question. In what season were Partick Thistle last in the top flight? I don't think I'd have got that. It was the 17-18 season. None of you got it right. So there we go. We are. Actually, wouldn't have thought it was as far back as that, to be honest. They've been out for.
Yeah, we will.
I should have remembered Pedro Casino's first year, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Livy.
When Gary Miller scored the winner, I think it was.
When they played Livy in the playoffs, though, was that when they went down?
Yeah, it might have been actually.
2018, jeez, I suppose it would have been. Never mind. Right, it does mean we're off to the tiebreaker. So here is the deal. I'll ask the question. I'll get Hugh to write his answer. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Scott, okay?
Okay, yeah.
The beauty of this, I'm not entirely confident we haven't had this question before, but let's see if you remember. Maybe we haven't. How many different teams have won the Scottish Cup? Write it down, please, Hugh. How many different teams have won the Scottish Cup? Scott, what are you going for?
24.
One of you's gone for 24, Scott. Hugh's gone for 25. You were very decisive. Do you feel like you knew that? Or is it an educated guess? Have we had this question before?
I don't remember the question.
You don't remember it, Hugh?
You know why I just throw out random answers?
With no loss of enthusiasm.
Correct.
So Hugh says 25. Scott says 24. One of you's got it in the nose.
Oh, no way.
And it's Hugh Keevans. It's 25. Scott. You can't do much about that, seriously.
No, absolutely not.
He's just
absolutely
closed not. His eyes, swung his foot at it, and smashed it off the bar and in from 40 yards. That's outrageous well, from you.
And now he's going to name them.
Well, he was at the first final, so.
Correct.
The way you were so decisive with it, I thought, I panicked a bit because I thought, oh no, we've had this question before.
My pet hate is the first question on Beat the Pundit, because if I don't get that mm-hmm. right, then I panic. And I thought, be decisive, get in there.
In amongst your books that you've written, did you write a book about the Scottish Cup?
It was to coincide with the 100th Scottish Cup final, which Roger win. I mean, that's some time ago
well,
now.
You wrote the book.
I know.
Asking him for. Well, the 100.
But anyway, it was a story of the Scottish Cup up to the 100th final.
Well, that wouldn't even have helped you then, because you've had to add them on. Anyway, listen, it was a great effort, Scott. What can you do? You have been beaten by the luckier man, and your record is now played to 1-1, lost 1. You can come back for a third time, okay?
Perfect. Thanks very much, Gordon.
All thank best, you, Scott. There we go. Scott, and wish you on the line. You'll be happy with that.
Oh.
That was wonderful from you.
Well.
Craig D says, we've had that Scottish Cup question before. I thought we had. But to be fair, Craig, as long as Hugh didn't remember it, which he didn't, I can tell by that blank expression he gave me, I don't mind it. And it tells you really about the way my mind works, because even if we have had it, I don't think I could have told you it was 25. So there we go. 25 different teams. Do you think you could name them all?
No.
Good, because we'll be here until then.
I can tell you that Queen's Park are third. Celtic and Rangers won it mm-hmm. more than everybody else, and Queen's Park are third.
And Ross County are the only team currently in the Premiership who have not won it, because yep. we had that on Beat yep. the Pundit last week. Who are the what are the famous droughts? Dundee, are they the sort of biggest?
Hibs are the biggest drought.
But they've ended that now though.
Think Portal Dundee, something like 1923 or something Dundee. Like that. It's the last one. Yep.
I'm starting to worry about the length of time that claret and amber ribbons have been on it. Quite frankly.
Well, you won't get them on it this season.
Absolutely not.
91.
What's the chances?
Getting on a bit.
What's the chances you? A mother will get knocked out the cup by a player called Kirk.
Oh no, that honestly. Would be ironic. But I'm just about to say 91. Aberdeen won it in 90, and that's the last time they won it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Aberdeen even longer, yeah.
35 years.
And St Mirren, I saw St Mirren at the weekend. They've not even been in a final since they won it in 87.
Oh, I remember that final very well. That was Ferguson.
Yeah, Ian Ferguson scored an extra time to beat Dundee United. Alex Smith, manager, with Jimmy Bowen. Yeah.
What's famous about that final? I mention it probably twice a season, so.
The last time the 22 players were all Scots.
That's why he's paid the big bucks.
The people's final, as it was called then. We like a cliche in our game, don't we?
Right, 01419511025. Stuart Miller, did you not get that question a couple of weeks ago? I'm sorry. Take it up with whoever wrote the questions. But I think we did have it, but I don't think it was you. Or was it? It's going to be even more embarrassing when we find out it was. Anyway, we move on. We're like Hugh Keevans. We move from one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm.
Correct.
Keep your calls coming in. Rangers fans, what did you learn yesterday, if anything? Celtic fans, was it a good performance just with missed chances, or does that worry you ahead of the Champions League? Motherwell fans, we're talking about that Scottish Cup drought. How annoyed are you at the weekend? Bankies fans, you want to talk about your trip to the capital? Whatever it is, give us a call and we'll get you on. But first, let's go to Dens Park, because Dave Galloway is poised and ready to give us the team news from what could, maybe should be one of the ties of the round, Dave.
Yeah, it's all set for a cup cracker here, Gordon. Incidentally, the last time Dundee won the Scottish Cup was 1910. So that is a fairly long time ago, it's fair to say. All set for a real cracker here. Two on-form city rivals with stadiums in the same street going at it in front of a capacity crowd under the lights. They kicked off 2025 with a dramatic Premiership meeting here, United scoring in the 88th minute to win 2-1. Another close contest is on the cards, and there's plenty of excitement and anticipation in the air ahead of the tie of the round, with the one remaining last 16 place up for grabs. The Tangerines have a good record here, having not lost at Dens Park for over 7 years, but that will count for absolutely nothing as these teams battle it out. And with matters having to be settled on the night and prepared for a late one, it wouldn't be surprising to see this go all the way. United have been busy in the transfer market today. They've announced two new loan signings: striker Rory Payton from Port Vale and midfielder Luis Fiorini from Stockport County, and both of them are on the bench. To the teams then, just the one change for Dundee, and it's Cameron in for Mulligan. So they start Trevor Carson in goals, a back three of Ryan Astley, Clark Robertson and Aaron Donnelly. Midfield, Lyle Cameron, Mo Silla, Cesar Garza and Ethan Ingram, with Sun Adewumi and Finn Robertson playing behind Simon Murray in attack. The subs, McCracken, Sharp, Tiffany, Main, Samuels, Palmer Holden, Graham and Vetro. As for Dundee United, a couple of alterations for them. In come Graham and Malt, out drop Doherty and Middleton. So Jack Walton in goals. At the back, Emmanuel Adegboyega, Declan Gallagher and Kevin Holt. In the midfield, Ryan Strain, Ross Graham, Vichko Savelge and Will Ferry, with Lucas Stevenson and Louis Malt supporting Sam Dalby in attack. The substitutes, Richards, Trapanovsky, Fiorini, Babunski, Middleton, Fotheringham, Van der Sand and Payton. Match referee here at Dens Park is Matthew McDermott, and Kevin Clancy is your man on VAR.
Really looking forward to this, because we get the heightened version of this in Glasgow. You're not allowed to both be in a good place. Somebody has to be up there, somebody has to be on the floor. But both sets of fans will be really up for that one tonight. Both in quite a good spell.
What a great stat from Dave there. 115 years since Dundee won the Scottish Cup. That's incredible. But you're right. You know, I've read all the stuff from players like Simon Murray, who played for Dundee United but has been a Dundee fan all his life, and what it's like to be in the city when you're on the losing side, and how much he hopes that's not the case. Going late night shopping to avoid being seen by people in the aftermath of a Dundee derby being lost. So the atmosphere will be great. I think there's no reason to suspect that there won't be goals aplenty in the game, and it could go either way.
No Josh Mulligan for Dundee, I think, is a blow.
Yeah, he's been good, hasn't he?
He's been exceptionally good in that position, out wide in the right. He's good going forward. He's big, he's strong, he's good defensively. I think that could be a blow. Be fascinated to see this United team. It looks to me there's four centre-backs in that United team. So does it mean Kevin Holt pushing forward into that holding role, maybe to keep a rein on Lyle Cameron?
Who'd you fancy? Do you fancy the late night that Dave Galloway anticipates?
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, I think it... No matter what, even if it goes to penalties, I fancy Dundee United.
You know something? I'm going to oppose you. They won there. They did win there at the start of the year. Sam Dalby scoring late on. I've just got a sniff that Dundee might see it out, but they might need penalties to do it.
Okay, let's bring in Hugh, who's on the line. Hugh, not a good weekend for your Motherwell team. What's happening?
The weirdest start. Good evening anyway, guys. How are we?
Good.
Gordon and Kuhn. Probably know. I'm one of you quite regular talking about our possession, how we're too passive. We sit back all the time, and the performances is getting worse and worse every single week. We don't have any fight, we don't have any passion. There's nothing in the team. It's heartless, it's gutless. And then Saturday there, it was the worst one. We're now going back to Graham Alexander days, and I'll even go back and even say Stevie Hamill days as well. There's just nothing there in the team, absolutely nothing. There's nobody wanting to pick a team up and have a drive at it. Let's do this, let's do that. We need a goal at the weekend, and we're still playing with five at the back. No clue.
Possession was good, and possession was better, wasn't it, on Saturday, Hugh? Just shows you.
Well, do you want me to show you the first half possession?
I'm obviously joking.
I know what you're doing, Gordon, but what I'm saying, 29% in the first half.
Ah, 49 by the end.
Do you know the thing I'll say to you, to you, Hugh, my namesake? And I said it in the programme on Saturday. I would never have taken Maswanisi off for the simple reason that, as you said, Motherwell needed a goal. And if there was the very last person I would have taken off was Maswanisi, because he's got the ability to score that goal in 5 seconds that changes everything. And I'm laughing inside because I'm thinking of the Rangers fan who called earlier to say it's the supporters' job to get behind the team. And I said to him, Hugh, I don't know if you heard it, that supporting a football club is about a spontaneous demonstration of emotion, how you're feeling, and you've expressed yourself, and you don't believe it's a job. You believe that you have the prerogative to say the manager got things wrong. And that's the one thing I would say, I would never have taken off Masminisi.
Roger, they're in some place, because if we're talking performance level, Hugh's entitled to think about it, what he wants, and he says it's you know, it's like the Stevie Hamill era. The obvious difference in terms of assessing the bigger picture is it looked like that Motherwell team was a stick on to get relegated, like an absolute stick on at one point.
Yeah,
you probably couldn't say that for this team now. Maybe you can say it in March. I don't know. I hope not. But maybe Hugh's ahead of the game, but that's where that balance is. Difficult to strike, isn't it? If you were on the outside, say you didn't watch Motherwell, you would go, Hugh, wind it in. You're fifth place, you've got loads of injuries, you're Motherwell, you've got one of the smallest budgets in the league. Fine, you get knocked out off a fellow Premiership team away from home, who cares? But Hugh's watching it. He's got the eye test and he's saying it's nowhere near good enough. And he's right as well.
They are an interesting place. I think the next six fixtures for Motherwell include Celtic, Rangers and Dundee United at Tannadice. That's the top three at the minute.
I think the last eight included this run that they've been on, included them.
They are fifth. If you look at the table, only 7 points above Hearts, who are in that relegation playoff place. So I don't think anyone at Motherwell will be complacent about the way things are going. Do we factor injuries in? We can if you want to, or we can't if you want to. The reality is they're without an awful lot of players, including their best player, Lennon Miller, their captain, Paul McGinn, their goalie, Aston Oxborough. But none of them are coming back anytime soon. So Stuart Kettlewell is going to have to find a way to start winning games. They lost at Perth in the Cup at the weekend. They need to get back in the horse. They need to win at Perth at the weekend in the league and just banish this sort of spectre that seems to be looming over the club at the minute.
Maybe a difficult one to answer, Hugh, because Stevie Hamill was a Motherwell legend. So obviously fans, you know, had a real affinity for him. But it feels like there's an angrier reaction to this cup exit than there was at getting battered to Championship Raith Rovers last year. Is that fair? And I wonder where that comes from.
I think it's actually down to the performance level, because fans have now... We gave Stuart Kettlewell... I was one of the ones last year who says, I'm not going on his back because it's not his team. I want him to bring in who he wants his players to bring in. Yes, we've got 9 injuries. But again, we should have had the team out, and no disrespect to St Johnston, that should have beat St Johnston at the weekend. They're way beyond us, way down the bottom of the league. We should be able to beat them. I came on here after the St Johnston game and we beat them 2-1 at Fir Park when they got a goal chopped off by VAR in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, was that the game?
And we were lucky to win that game. We were 2-0 up in that game. One was a deflection and one was a cross going in as well. And St Johnston played us off the park. Valakari made 2 changes at half time, and we stuck to what we were doing, which wasn't good enough. And it's consistently every week. Now you see, Gordon, you've probably seen it online with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Fans are now starting to question him. And I questioned him months ago because it's the way he sets up a team, it's his formation, and his absolute arrogance that I'm not changing. He's too stubborn. He needs to change his formation. 3 at the back, 3 defenders at the back, don't help us. We are not good enough to play 3 defenders at the back. We need a 4-back-4, then you work your midfield and out front line. Hugh was right as well. Masminisi, he brings them off when we're chasing a goal. And you think, what are you doing? I would have rather sacrificed the midfielder and put another striker on up front. Go for it. We didn't put them under pressure. He says we had a better second half. We had one shot on target in the whole game, and I wouldn't even call it a shot. I think Masminisi actually tried to get it away from you. He was stuck under his feet, and he tried to get it out of his feet. And that was a shot. I'm sorry, that's not good enough.
You know, prior to the game, Simo Valakari, after losing to Rangers, had used up all these words like catastrophic and misery. And he said, but this will be a beautiful week because the cup will take us away from league football. And he approached the game in that manner. And whatever was going through Stuart Kettlewell's mind, he stuck to his way. And as Hugh on the line says, he demands the right to stick to his own way. Well,
also I don't think it's black and white saying you need to be good to play 3 at the back and Motherwell good enough to play 3. That sounds a bit simplistic.
Listen, it's a difficult time for Motherwell supporters. There was no criticism of the 3 at the back when they were 2-0 up against Rangers at half time. There was no criticism of three at the back when they were beating Aberdeen at Fir Park, or when they were beating Dundee United 4-3 in one of the best games I've seen this season. So it is a difficult time. One of the reasons he plays this formation is, if you don't play three at the back, if you play a four at the back, then you're obliged to get width from further up the park. At the minute, in that 3-5-2, the width comes from your wing-backs. Maybe it's Coletta or O'Donnell, maybe it's Wilson or Seddon. Sorry?
Maybe that's not working, though, for fans like
you. Yes, but if he goes to a four at the back, where's his width up top coming from? Because the way the squad's been built, not just by Kettlewell, but his predecessors as well, there aren't really natural wingers there to give you your width in a more advanced position.
Thank you to Hugh, and there will be more calls when we return. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time where Roger Hannah and Hugh Keevans, I don't think they've ever teamed up on the full-time teaser. This is exciting stuff these two brought together in emergency circumstances tonight, and I'm enjoying it. So Hugh Keevans, the way it usually works is, if you want, you can sit back and he'll answer it all.
That's fine.
But actually, usually on a Monday, it's Andy who likes to try and...
Andy's good.
Yeah, Andy's good at the old teaser, so...
This is a collaborator. This is like Tony Bennett and who? Would it be?
Frankie Vaughan.
Sorry, you've lost me. I have to just read the question. Andy would have loved this question as well. Stephen says, Cyril Dessers became the ninth player to score a hat-trick for Rangers in the Scottish Cup since the year 2000. Can you name the other eight? So, Cyril Dessers, the ninth player to score a hat-trick for Rangers in the Scottish Cup since the year 2000. Who are the other eight?
Chris Boyd.
On his debut.
Against...
Peterhead.
Yeah, that actually sounded right to me, but it says he's Stirlingshire down here. Did he do that as well, maybe?
I don't remember that. No. His debut was a 5-0 win against Peterhead, and he scored a hat-trick.
Great start.
He's had a difficult day today, our dear friend Christopher from
Ayrshire. Christopher from Ayrshire, what's he done?
Yes, bust pipe.
On the farm?
Yes.
Oh, no, the animals will be going crazy.
Yes.
The paddock flooded, whatever it is.
Yes, it's in the lower field.
Oh, no, nothing worse. Nothing worse. Anyway, Chris Boyd's on the list. Let's not worry about who it was against.
That turnover?
No. Roger?
Josh Windass.
Yes, against
Fraserburgh.
Fraserburgh. That was away though, wasn't it?
That was away from home.
I remember
home, yeah.
That one, yep. I'll take one more guess since from you before we move on.
Billy Dodds.
Yes, against Forfar back in 2002. Let's leave it there. Josh Windass, Chris Boyd and Billy Dodds. We're looking for, before Cyril Dessers, the previous eight Scottish Cup hat-trick scorers for Rangers. Windass, Boyd, Dodds. Looking for the rest. And if you like the sound of that, you want involved, you want a bit of the action, you have to come up with a question. Put it in an email. fulltime@clyde1.com is the address, and we'll try our best to use it on the show. David is calling from Alberta, Canada, of all places. Wow. How are you, David?
How you doing?
How's things?
Not bad, cold.
What temperature are we talking?
Last night it was -28.
Oh my goodness.
This state you were getting yourself in last weekend, Roger Hanna, because it was -5 or whatever.
Whoa. No reverse. That was Andrew McLean at Dingwall. Who was complaining?
Where were you again?
That day.
We had our cold weekend last weekend.
No, the coldest I was this season was the day the games were delayed. Remember the delayed kickoff?
Yes, I
was at St Mirren Aberdeen. Oh,
David,
perish.
Minus, what did he say? 28. Oh, my goodness, David. The football over, you managed to keep an eye on the football from a distance then. What have you made of it recently?
Oh, yeah. I'm up every morning at 5 o'clock on a Saturday or a Sunday. I'm up every game.
Great commitment. Who's your team?
Celtic.
Right, what are you making of it at the moment then? What made you call?
What made me call was I'm getting a bit tired of Rio Hotate getting the ball away. I don't think he's actually... His pass rate must be shocking. I mean, it can't be any more than 30%. Is it worth him being in the team at that rate? Or would Luke McCown or Bernard will be a better replacement for him and a more secure passer of the ball?
I looked at the team on Saturday, David, and I said on the programme that for me that was ideally the team that Brendan Rodgers would put out against Young Boys in the Champions League, and that tells me that he sees Hatate, and I do understand that he's had an in and out season for Celtic, but Brendan Rodgers clearly sees McGregor, Hatate, Engels as his first choice midfield trio.
And just to really be pernickety about it, even though it feels that way, I bet Urijo Hatate's pass completion will still be about 80%. Because it's there's no way he's only completing 3 of 10 passes. I know what you mean, David, and that's the way it feels. And you maybe were just throwing that number out there. It's clearly about Urijo Hatate's ceiling, isn't it, Roger? Where if they're all at their best, he's in the team every day of the week.
Yeah.
How often is he at his best? I think that's clearly what David's asking.
Listen, I know the point David's making. He sometimes does not just look careless on the ball, he sometimes is careless on the ball. And in comparison to Callum McGregor, who's at his side, he does give the ball away. However, I think what he brings to the team probably allows him to keep his place in the team. It's very seldom that you see a midfield of McGregor, Engels and Bernardo together. You know, it's usually McGregor, Hatate and either Engels or Bernardo. There is pressure on his place. Luke McCown's playing well. Bernardo plays well when he comes into the team. But as Hugh was saying earlier, when you see the team listed to play Kilmarnock at the weekend, it still looks Celtic's strongest team, and it still looks like the one you would expect to start on Wednesday night against Young Boys.
You disagree though, David. You think, are we at the stage you think Luke McCown should be in the picture to start a game of this magnitude? Because so far we've seen him, he's played a fair number, but never really, you know, never a game against Rangers from the start, or never a Champions League game from the start.
Yeah, I think he should be starting against Young Boys. The problem I have with Hatate is under pressure he gives the ball away even more. I mean, if you take the Old Firm game itself, Rio Tati must have gave the ball away easily every second pass. I mean, he was absolutely shocking against Rangers. He basically gave Rangers a game from midfield.
It was a noticeable feature of the second half against Kilmarnock at the weekend that when Kilmarnock really put Hatate and Arne Engels under pressure, they were all over the place. I don't know how carefully Young Boys have studied that match, but there's a lesson there for them. However, Luke McCown appears to be for domestic use in the main. And to be fair, Paolo Bernardo of late has not done enough to suggest that he should take the place of Arne Engels or Rio Hatate.
On that midfield, Roger, talking about pass completion and other stats, what is the record for goals outside the box scored in a season, do you think? Because I wonder if Cal, that always strikes me as that it'll be a lower number than you think. And I wonder how close Callum McGregor is going to get to it by the end of the season.
It's remarkable, actually. I remember reading something at the start of the season complaining that you don't see goals from outside the box anymore. The Pep Guardiola revolution in football doesn't allow it. Everybody wants to be, you know, pass, and a wee tap in at the end after 27 passes.
Have all seven been outside the box, yeah?
I think I saw a stat saying they had, yeah. And Callum has banished that from Celtic Park, that theory. He suddenly turned into a very handy scoring asset because, you know, we mentioned the front three of Kuhn, Kyogo and Maeda, but if you've got any central midfielder chipping in with, what is it, seven so far this season, that could well go into double figures for the first time in his career. That would be invaluable to Celtic.
Someone's going to tell me it's absolute miles off and somebody once scored 15 all outside the box. And maybe they did, but it just feels like for a central midfielder like he is, the more defensive one.
Yeah, kind of number six.
Seven goals at this stage of the season, and I think they're all outside the box, Hughes. Mm. He's defying the statistics.
Again, he came back to something like his old self because Callum McGregor, in the eyes of a lot of Celtic supporters, had gone into a kind of anonymous phase. But the goal was a reminder of what he is good at.
Thank you very much, David. You wrap up, will you?
Oh, yeah.
Good man. Minus 40 or whatever it was he said. I'm getting chilly just thinking about it. Thank you to David from Alberta, Canada, who thinks Rio Hatate is on borrowed time in the Celtic starting 11. Give us a call with your thoughts. Let me revisit this teaser quickly. Cyril Dessers became the ninth player to score a Scottish Cup hat-trick for Rangers in 2000. Can you name the other since 2000? Can you name the other eight? Windass, Boyd, Dodds.
Moles?
Nope.
Jermaine Defoe?
No, not in the cup.
We're going to have to give him the shout, aren't we? Kenny Miller?
No. It's the first Rangers teaser he's not been involved in the history of this show.
Morelos?
Yes, against Kilmarnock in 2019, and we'll get the rest when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hugh Keevans and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025 is the number that you need. We're asking you on the teaser tonight, can you name the eight players before Cyril Dessers who scored a Scottish Cup hat-trick for Rangers this century? You've got Alfredo Morelos, Josh Windass, Chris Boyd, Billy Dodds.
I'm going to have a go at Kemar Roof.
No. Believe it or not, they're the remainder of them. I'll help you because I think you're toiling a bit, even by your standards, Roger Hanna. The remaining four are all in that 2014 to 2018 bracket.
Martin Waghorn.
Martin Waghorn, yes. Okay, three to get. We'll get them before the end. We're nearly out of time. Anything else from the cup you want to share? Anything you want to get off your chest? Was it just a bit in the nicest way possible? It was all a bit straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, Brunei took Ayr United to Broxburn and the
fantastic
8-0. You know,
genuinely, it's a really good result, that, isn't it? It's easy to say, you know, that obviously there's a gulf, but there's a reason teams don't just go out and do that all the time.
I mean, if Jimmy Tilleen had taken Aberdeen to Broxburn, we'd have been saying, "Ooh, what if he slips up there?" But Scott Brown took United there. They're sitting in a fine position in the Championship, and he's, you know, he's had his ups and downs in his coaching career, but he's having a very good season, and he'd be looking forward to that draw tonight after the Dundee Derby.
There'd be a good few teams looking forward to it. You know, we mentioned Paul Hartley's Cove Rangers. They could get a huge tie. What a good win for Rhys McCabe's Airdrie and Dumbarton. I thought they might slip up there. They need something to be cheerful about this season. But listen, Hamilton are in the hat. Queen's Park are in the hat. Can you imagine Queen's Park, Wally Hockey, drawn at home to Celtic at Hampden in the Scottish Cup? What would that be like? That would be a terrific game.
And then the fact that we're not talking about it tonight shows you the no-win situation Aberdeen were in.
Yeah.
If that had gone wrong at the weekend, might even have been their top story tonight.
Yeah.
But if it goes right, and well, it's just Elgin anyway, but they needed it. They really needed it. I'm not convinced one of the goals was over the line, by the way.
And neither is Aidan Glavin, the Elgin goalkeeper.
At the start, we overlooked it for Howler of the weekend and knew there was something we were missing. It's not over the line, is it?
Doesn't look it.
No, it doesn't look it. I mean, and this is the goalie who in the previous round saved six penalties and scored one.
The thing about Aberdeen, they're at home to St Mirren on Saturday, and everyone's saying, "Oh well, there's the result. They've gone through in the cup, and they'll kick on from here." What if they don't? You know, and the real big story: what if Clyde Bank don't kick on from their proud performance at Easter Road when they play shots? That's the big story.
You mentioned Queen's Park, actually, a bit of transfer news. Dom Thomas has left. He's gone to Derry.
He's going to provide the chances for Liam Boyce.
Well, that's exactly it. I think they're trying to look at that Scottish market. It's the manager who almost got the St Johnson job, isn't it?
Yeah, Tiernan Lynch.
Who we spoke about with Scott Allen, because Scott Allen was with him at Larne. And he's kind of raiding the Scottish market, Dom Thomas. Going
paid
over
paid money for him. Yeah. I think it was a fee Queen's Park didn't feel they could turn down for a player of Dom's vintage. They will miss him greatly because the times I've seen Queen's Park this season, he has been the creative spark. They're okay defensively, even though Dane Murray's been recalled by Celtic, they still look okay defensively. I think they'll miss Dom. They're not that far away from the Championship promotion playoffs, Gordon.
Yeah,
and it would have taken a lot for them to let him go.
Was he the captain as well?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
You know, the sort of the journey Queen's Park have been on, everybody knows it. You could probably make a case to say he'll have been, what, Queen's Park best player of the modern era, or one of them. I know, like the Andy Robertson story so on. But you could probably make a case for that, couldn't you?
Yeah, certainly in the last 10 years,
So anyway, off he goes. Any other transfer business interesting you?
Well, what's happening with Kieran Tierney?
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
It was the big transfer rumour. On the bench again for Arsenal against Villa at the weekend. it's all gone quiet. And but I do think that there are other issues regarding the Celtic team that are as important as bringing Kieran Tierney back. You know, that I think there's a vacancy for a ball winner in the middle of the park, for example.
But then the left back could be a glaring one. You know, that's Hugh's opinion on maybe trying to enhance the team, Roger. But if Alex Vaillie, if whatever happens with his loan, Greg Taylor's out of contract at the end of the season, and Celtic always take the headlines for these big headline grabbing pieces of business. Tierney for 25 million and Jota for 25 million and Matt O'Reilly for more. Pound for pound, is the multi-million pound sale of Alejandro Bernabe right up there?
Yes, it would have to be.
That's such a good bit of business.
Hailed in this country by Gordon DL and no one else. And Celtic have got between 4 and 5 million pounds for him. It is a fantastic piece of business. And Kieran Tierney will be in the building in the next... What we'll do, the transfer window goes into the 3rd of February, two weeks tonight.
You're certain of it, yeah?
Yeah, I think it'd be a Celtic player.
Okay.
I think it'd be a Celtic player.
That, and look, Hugh, it's been said a lot, but that's where Celtic do deserve credit. It's one thing selling all these top assets at top dollar, which is hard enough.
Yeah.
But the millions that they've brought in for guys that haven't been able to contribute to their first team in any meaningful way is, like I say, in a weird way, every bit is impressive.
I remember Bernabe scoring a goal at Dingwall one Sunday, and that's about all I remember. So to get £5 million for him is incredible. There's been so much speculation about Kyogo in this window. I think it's his 30th birthday today, is it?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
But I think it'd be madness for Celtic to let Kyogo go.
Wish him happy birthday, in case he's listening.
Happy birthday, Kyogo.
I should have got you to do that in Japanese that you picked up in the World Cup in 2002.
Simisai, simisai. They all said it. I don't know what it means.
Two laggers.
But I think regardless of what happens against Young Boys and Aston Villa after that, a game that comes just before the transfer window closes, I don't think that Celtic can afford to let Kyogo go because there's nobody behind them at all.
It's also a slightly different, it's a very different January window. It's the first of its kind, Roger, where you have two Champions League games or Europa League games, competition you're in, during the window.
Yeah.
So
and
we sometimes
very late in the
that's
window,
what I was
you know.
Say,
Celtic go to Villa Park. Celtic should be through, but technically they could go to Villa Park next Wednesday night, not knowing if they're through. Rangers then have Union Saint-Gilloise at Ibrox on the Thursday, not knowing if they're through. A lot of business might have to hang on which competition the two clubs are in by the time the transfer window closes.
Do you know, I think Man United, having looked at them yesterday, are so bad, I think Rangers will win at Old Trafford.
There is your prediction of 2025. Harry Maguire, if you're listening, you've been told.
Well, at the very least, you're never going to get a better chance to beat the name, are you? Because the name is still there, and yes, and it's England and Scotland, it's Premier League, it's money, so it would... still would be a massive deal, but you're not going to get a better chance to beat the name, surely.
Do you know what struck me yesterday on Dennis Lodi, when you've got Sir Alex and Paddy Clarend and Brian Kidd and Alex Stepney out there, and a wreath is laid on the ground, and so on and so forth, and the poem is read out about Dennis, the king of the Stretford Inn. Not one player in the Manchester United team cared enough about Manchester United to see the rest of the day through, and that's why I think they're duds and Rangers will win.
Doesn't mince his words, this guy.
Absolutely
right,
not.
On the teaser, who are the 8 players before Cyril Dessers that have scored a Scottish Cup hat-trick for Rangers this century? Morelos, Windass, Waghorn, Boyd, Dodds. 3 to get.
Right, you've boxed us into a corner. We have to say the captain, Tavernier.
No.
If we're looking at David Templeton.
Nope. 2018 one was against Falkirk. This player is better known for scoring goals for Hibs, you would say.
Oh, Jason Cummings.
Yes. I can't remember. This one was against Hamilton in 2017. Oh, is it the same game? I'm sure this guy booted somebody up the backside and didn't get sent off. That's like my memory of him. He didn't
Wasn't
do a
Joe
great
Garner,
deal. It was Joe Garner.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like a comedy cartoon kick up the backside, I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway. And the 2014 one is another former Hibs player.
2014, back in the day. Who was the opponent?
Dunfermline. He has a famous footballing father.
Oh, Nicky Clark.
No. Nope.
I've gone David Temple and I've gone Nicky Clark neither.
So, I mean, Nicky Clark pretty much fits the description I just gave you as well, but he's not Scottish though.
Oh.
Northern Irish.
Oh, Dean Shields.
Dean Shields against Dunfermline. Thank you very much, Roger. A special thanks to Hugh Keevans stepping in at the last minute to join us. A pleasure as always. Wonderful. We'll see you later in the week. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday because it just keeps on going from here. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers tomorrow. Match day minus one, as UEFA call it. Then on to the big one for Celtic. Then on to the big one for Rangers. We've got a Dundee derby tonight. A Scottish Cup draw to follow. You will not want to miss us tomorrow at six. And we will see you then.